Let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we hear your words spoken and explained, that you would open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit to hear what it means for us today. We ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to make a little confession. Those of you who don't know me, I'm originally from New Zealand. So, and if you don't know New Zealand, rugby is almost a religion. Well, in some places it is a religion. And I used to play a little bit in my day. And it was a great game. I loved playing it. The only thing is that it's a slightly aggressive game. And I remember one time, much to my shame, I have to confess, this is a confessions of a vicar. Full disclosure here. One game I was playing against the prison services. So they were the guys that were in prison. They'd done some wrong stuff, you know, all that stuff. And we were playing in like a local derby match in the middle of nowhere. And there's one player who kept on infringing. He'd go offside and he would kill the ball and he'd lie all over the ball. And this is a day before referees pulled this up. And I took the law into my own hands. And in New Zealand they call it, I gave him a good shoeing. You can imagine what that looks like in a game of rugby. There were scars probably left behind. And that's not who I am. And it was really embarrassing. And it was something that I was quite ashamed of in my rugby career. And as I went back to play rugby, it's really interesting. After I finished my rugby career, I've long finished that. I got tip tackled and ended up with a done shoulder. But one of the images I have of my rugby career is that moment. And I don't forget it because I was much ashamed of it. And I wonder if I asked you, what are you ashamed of? What are some of the things in your life that you're not happy with or you've been ashamed of or you've been hurt by or other people have hurt you and you've decided to take the law into your own hands? What are some of the moments in your life you have been ashamed of? As you think about that, I want you to think about the symmetry of the story that we've just heard. Peter has been shamed before this. If you want to go back, what am I talking about? What am I referencing about? I don't know if you remember the story. Peter in the Last Supper is told by Jesus, you are going to deny me three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter goes, as Peter does, nah, Jesus, I'm not going to do that. No way, mate. I'm absolutely up for you. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. No matter what the costs are, I'm going to be there. And what happens is quite remarkable. Around a fire, Jesus is arrested. Around a charcoal fire, by the way, so that's important if you remember the bit of the story that we heard just now. Around a charcoal fire, somebody spotted him and said, aren't you one of Jesus' mates? And Peter goes, nah, not me, mate. Nah, you've got the wrong person. I might have a double ganger out there or something like that, but no, it's not me. Then somebody else says, I'm sure you're the disciple of Jesus. I've seen you before around. He's quite a famous person, you know. And Jesus can see Peter in the other room around the fire, and he goes, nah, mate, not me. I'm not that person. And for a third time, he is asked, aren't you the one that's associated with that Jesus bloke? Sorry, I'm paraphrasing in Kiwi this one. And he goes, nah, mate, not me. No chance. And he hears the cock crow, as Jesus predicted. And the cock crows, and he runs, and he hides, and he's deeply ashamed of his behavior. So deeply, a grown man, fisherman, rugged person, cries out loud because he has done something terrible and wrong, and he thinks there's no coming back from that. And so to understand the context of the story, it's almost like you've heard the program Black Mirror. This is a white mirror, this story. It's a white mirror that reflects some of the things. Because also, if you heard at the beginning, when they were fishing, do you remember what happened? They fished all night and they didn't catch a thing. And then some bloke turns up on the shore and goes, cast the net on the other side. And so they did. And if anybody knows anything about fishing in that area, you have to fish at night because the fish come up out because they don't like the light because things can see them and kill them. So in the morning, it's light. So this is a crazy thing. They're in shallow water because they're only close to the shore. He says, cast your net on the other side. And they do. And when they cast a net, suddenly they get 120 fish. And in those days, the nets weren't strong. There wasn't nylon. So it would have been strong enough to break the net. But miraculously, the net doesn't break. And suddenly, somebody in the boat goes, where have I seen this before? And if you remember the calling of the disciples, way back, Jesus was on the shore really early on in his ministry and said, by the way, cast net on the other side, catch some fish. And they do, and they catch a fish. So there's symmetry there. And as we come along further along the story, we see it time and time again. Peter, I love Peter because he's the one that does all sorts of things that are bonkers and crazy. And he's a bit of a nutter, and I like that in a person. He's been willing, and he jumps out the boat, gets dressed, jumps out the boat, and goes and sees Jesus on the shore. And he's like, he comes before him, the person he's denied three times. And what does Jesus do? Around the charcoal fire, you remember the charcoal fire he was around when he denied Jesus three times? Around the charcoal fire, Jesus asks him, do you love me? And Peter responds, well, yeah, I love you. And then Jesus goes again and says, no, Peter, do you really love me? Peter, kind of feeling a little bit deterred by that, kind of says, yeah, you know I love you, right? I've followed you for 3 years. I love you. And then Jesus asks a third time, do you love me? Peter goes, yeah, I do love you. And he feels a bit upset about it, a bit hurt about it. But then I wonder, looking at the charcoal fire, remembering a few days ago, Peter remembers his mistake and his shame and his embarrassment. And you see here, three times he denies Jesus. Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? The symmetry in this is like a white mirror to our lives. And I wonder for each one of us, that as we think about the things that we've been ashamed of, do you love Jesus? Can you come to Jesus? Can you put yourself before him and go, do you know what? I've made mistakes and I recognize that, but actually, I want to be forgiven and I want to live a life with you. That is what Jesus is calling us to do. And when we baptize, you know, with Sophie, Dylan, and Nyla, that is part of what we do. We see this reconciliation, this getting back together of relationship with people and Jesus and God and forgiveness and grace. And I wonder whether Peter had to go through all of that because you know what Jesus also asked him to do? After each time he said, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. He's not only calling Peter to be forgiven, he's calling Peter to take action. He's calling Peter out into the world to shine as a light for him. And I wonder when Peter goes through this, he had to have that experience of humility and failure to be a successful church leader. He had to go through that sense of not doing what God wanted, recognizing in himself he hadn't got all the answers, but the answers came in his Savior Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And so as we maybe recognize that for each one of us, that we tend and go out and share that love, not in a boastful way, not in a horrible, nasty way. In this world today, it seems that people need to shout louder and shout more and all that sort of stuff. But with a gentle confidence, knowing that you are secure in God's love, knowing that no matter what you do, there's nothing beyond which God can't heal you from. And to reassure you that, if we have a look at Romans 10, verse 11, it says this. I need longer arms, I think, when I start reading these things now. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. Peter's shame is removed. Why? Because God loves him and Jesus has forgiven him and moved him on and brought him to a new place of understanding. True is for us as well. If we can be moved on and brought to a new understanding of what Jesus' death and resurrection really means, it means you are saved. You are forgiven. You are loved by God and you're paid for at a cost of Jesus dying on the cross. That's the truth we proclaim as a church here. We believe that nobody is beyond forgiveness. Nobody is beyond the pale. And all of those things from the past that you feel shame about can be put right. And I wonder, for me, now I reflect on the rugby, I remember the stuff that I did wrong, but sometimes I can remember the things that I did okay as well and scored a couple of tries or made a great tackle, all those things as well. And for Peter, when he looks at a charcoal fire, he might remember the denial of Jesus three times, but he can remember standing by that same charcoal fire, professing, I love you, three times, undoing what is done. Maybe there's things from your past you want to undo what's done. Well, come to God, because he can provide all of that, that forgiveness. Amen.